Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your AEW Rampage SmackDown review show for June 2nd already. Holy cow. We're halfway through the year. We've got so much great wrestling to talk about. We have a new WWE title to talk about and some events that were surrounding said title. We have so much to talk about with tonight's AEW Rampage, which was essentially a battle of everybody else's belts in a way, which I didn't hate tonight. I have my gripes because sometimes I get a little bit more important ROH stuff on AEW programming than I do on ROH, but what a blast tonight. Guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video to help people find us in the ever-changing YouTube algorithm. Send in those super chats and humper chats if there's anything you want to talk about. You want to talk about some Zack Sabre Jr.? Because I freaking do.
I knew
it. You want to talk Shibata doing what he's doing? You want to talk the Usos on As the SmackDown Turns? There is so much happening. Talk to us about it with your super chats and your humper chats. We'll also remind you to go ahead and subscribe to Fightful Select because a little bit of CM Punk incoming news happening over there that you might want to check out. There's scoopsies coming all the time. We've got so much great wrestling ahead of us this summer, but we're not here to talk about any of that tonight. We're here to talk about tonight's SmackDown and Rampage post-show. But before we do that, I'm always so happy and proud of the fact that Sean gives us a lot of leeway to talk about things that are bigger than wrestling that affect this community sometimes. And I just want to wish everybody a happy Pride because I saw a quote that said, oh man, I had such cute like Pride white girl makeup too, and it didn't work out, but that's okay.
that's a...
It was like this cute little rainbow thing. It didn't work. We recovered. I saw a quote that said, Pride is important because, essentially said, there are still people in this world that think it's better off to not be here than it is to be themselves. And that about summed it up. And I just always want to reiterate that this is a safe place to hang out. Fightful is for everyone. Wrestling is for everyone.
Literally.
You can hang out here. I talked to all of our hosts at Fightful. They all love you, unanimously, it turns out. And we have the best moderator in the game, Luis, all right?
Yeah.
And if you come in here and are an asshole, he's going to switch holds on you faster than the 4 seconds that Zack Sabre Jr. does, okay? He's that quick with kicking people out. So, happy Pride. Thank you for hanging out with us. We all love you. We're going to talk some wrestling. Let's get into it. We're starting with Rampage tonight because SmackDown had something very fun.
It did.
It was all the way at the end. And we're going to make you stick around until the end to talk about that new title. But get in those super chats and humper chats now. Evangelina Gray saying good evening. Happy Pride Month. Savor the
evening.
Forbidden Door matches. And above all else, use those juicy parts the good Lord gave you. Amen to that. Hey, thank you for the support, Evangelina. What a beautiful name that is. Matt Raquel saying, hi, Kate. Hi, Alex. Can we talk about Death Before Dishonor in Trenton, New Jersey? Yeah, we can. My favorite wrestling brand is coming to my state. Very, very excited to hear that. We got some more love from Kylie, who is so wonderful, and we love her so much, saying that had to be one of the best Rampages I've seen in a long time. Yes, it was. Also, happy Pride Month from your favorite bi trans humper girl.
Let's go.
You're the best. We always appreciate your support. You're always like so wonderful in here, and we love hanging out with you. So thank you for hanging out here. We start with our AAA mega title, Vikingo beating Dralistico and Commander. Dralistico, Vance, and Jungle Hook next week. But let's talk about what we saw tonight, because this was a whole bunch of fun. this did feel very much, I keep saying it was like battle of everybody else's belts because there were no AEW belts on here, but we did get a bunch of belts here and we did get a lot of people retaining, but super, super fun wrestling. And what I loved about tonight's show is you get your ROH Pure match at the end, which is so specific and technical. You get your ZSJ match in the middle there too, also very specific and technical. But we start with this absolute fantastic car crash of a match that was so much fun. And we also get the incredible Willow Nightingale and Emmy putting on a great match in there as well. So I just loved that in an hour we got so much variety stylistically. I thought that was a really fun thing to have with this show. But I loved this opener. Car crash is probably the best way I could kind of think to describe it here. But this ends with Dralistico thinking he's got an opening to bring the wounded champion back into the ring. But we got our champ reversing a power bomb with the roll up for the victory. We're going through tables with 630s. We're jumping off of ropes. This was such a blast. What were your thoughts on our opener?
Car crash. You know, I mean, that doesn't even put it into words. Like, it amazes me that these men and women, but in this instance, men, put themselves in the match that they just did, right? Which I probably would have lasted about 33 seconds and never, and probably would have retired right there. Vikino doing that 450 splash off the rope as he's crazy, running outside the ring. That right there alone would have ended my entire career in anything that I'm doing. Just let
not
you
me.
Know that.
I'm always walking ropes. Just like
I think you would have landed on your bangs.
Like, they're a very soft place to land, these little bangs that I have.
Such a small, soft place to land.
But I love the energy of the opener, too. I feel like Super. Rampage is great at that. Like, oftentimes it's a high-energy tag match when they're like, when they're in their flow, you know, when we've had these rescheduled 5:30 whatever Rampages. It's been a little bit wonky, hasn't been quite hitting the same, but I really, really love when they start off with this like, this like super energetic thing, especially because the live tapings are so long. Gotta keep that crowd locked
in. And the San Diego crowd did their job again, even though they've been there pretty much all day. So that was fun. It was fun, you know.
Good job, San Diego crowd, because this was a blast. They also got a hell of a show, but I think it's important to start with the high energy match then, as much as I love an ROH Pure title match.
It's San Diego, and you know what that means.
When you've already seen it, it means a whale's vagina. But I do think, like, not everyone is a Techers nerd like I am, okay? You're not going to start with your Zack Sabre Jr. match. You're going to have that in the middle or at the end. And I just think that's a really smart move to wake that crowd back up after long days of tapings. But this was super duper fun. And we move
Agreed.
Along. Good stuff happening here. Here's something that I absolutely 100% in no way need on my screen. Aubrey and Karen Jarrett, God bless them both. Okay. And I love Aubrey especially. We get one women's match of Dynamite and one women's match of Rampage. I do not need Karen Jarrett and Aubrey setting up an angle instead of having another women's match between actual signed talents that do the wrestling part of this. Oh my God. Is anybody on earth actually asking for this? If they are, I ain't in that tribe. I'm sorry. Not for me. I don't need to see what was Ric Flair's last match angle run out for another 2 years of my life. This is beyond frustrating. You can't have a women's tag team division, but you can find Aubrey versus Karen. Come on. I'm thinking this plays into a bigger picture, but like, there was no part of me that was like, oh, dope. I'm so glad this is being set up on my television right now. Not for
and
me.
Just the fact that we have another Jarrett on television taking up time, I thought to myself, yep, I can't wait to see what Kate's going to say about this.
Yeah. Bree Woo out of here is what I say. Okay. But that's my take. Look, there's some people that are loving this Jeff Jarrett run. I don't have any nostalgic attachment to him. And I definitely don't have any nostalgic attachment to Karen Jarrett. But there's people that are liking this. This just isn't for me. Like what you like, love what you love, love who you love. We're talking all the love tonight, but this is not something that I want to see. Do you have any interest in this? Does this pop you as like a quick one-off silly nostalgia spot, or are you in the correct camp?
No, you know, last week I was like, I was all about, you know, let's play it out. Let's see what's going to happen, you know, very Bray Wyatt-y. But today, I'm all about, no, let's not do that. Okay, we can slap each other up and have a little fun, but I just feel like that's where it's headed, unfortunately. So if I were you, put that seatbelt on and brace yourself, because, I mean, F it, we're about to have an Aubrey Edwards match in 2023, and it's going to happen with a Jarrett.
Well, Aubrey is a trained wrestler, by the way, in case you didn't
know. Yes, yes. She will be slapping nuts. Slap nuts, if you guys didn't know that.
Yeah. I will pop for if we get an Aubrey low blow spot to Jeff Jarrett. That will pop me tremendously. I will not say that I was wrong in my assessment, but it will pop me tremendously if we get that. But we move on to what was match of the night for me, because, buddy, Zack Sabre Jr. in action and ready was on my television. You said to buckle up about Karen Jarrett. I'm going to need you guys to buckle up, okay? Because I'm probably about to embark on what I can only assume is a pretentious sounding rant, okay?
Oh, here we go.
And by me saying it's a pretentious sounding rant, I already know. You don't have to like tweet at me about how I sound like I'm on my high horse. I know I'm on my high horse about technical wrestling and Zack Sabre Jr., okay? You can super chat that I'm pretentious if you want, because I'll take your money and I won't be emotionally affected, because I'm telling you, I know that this sounds pretentious when I say this, but I can't tell you how inspired the work of Zack Sabre Jr. is right now, and on how many levels this guy is the best wrestler in the world. Yeah. When you are an artist of any kind and you master your technique in the way that Zack Sabre Jr. has, and wrestling's an art form, it's the coolest one. It's storytelling, so don't whatever.
It really is. Well,
I told you this was going to sound pretentious. I mean, when you master your technique, singer, master, actor, wrestler, whatever, there's this thing that happens where it like becomes so ingrained in your identity that it's like always present, but also running in the background. Like you're not actively thinking about it. You're not thinking about like X, Y, and Z next move. And when you get to that bliss point, you're just connected to the story and the work that you're doing in the most organic way possible. And that to me is like what Zack Sabre Jr. is right now. He is not just like the best technical wrestler in the world. He's now giving way to the point where like the stories that he's telling are so successful on a chapter of his career level. Like this New Japan title is his first singles title in New Japan. He's been there for 5-6 years. It's cementing what this belt needs. It's a brand new belt. It needed to feel like this. 15-minute time limit, super technical matches, great stories with them. He has the story in New Japan right now with Jeff Cobb, because Jeff Cobb's the only one that lasted the 15-minute time limit. And even though he didn't lose the title because you have the champion's advantage in that case, he didn't beat Jeff Cobb. So now he has to go beat Jeff Cobb. Like, this story is sitting right there. It's going to get settled at New Japan Dominion. You can watch it this weekend. And then on the match level, he's creating stories where like there's only these hints of angles or no real angle, and you just get to watch it unfold. Like what they set up with Samoa Joe on ROH, go watch it. There was like a hint of an angle, and by the end of it, because Samoa Joe's pretty good at this too, there was a whole book written about what's next for them, and it all unfolded in the ring, and by the way, made their opponents look great in the process. And then tonight, with someone like Action Andretti, where there is no story, and they operate in very different worlds wrestling-wise, you're getting a move-by-move story told with that. Like, you are seeing, let me wear down the shoulder. Let me, like, just let me target things over and over. Let me not let go of your wrist for the first 3 minutes of this match. When you have me in a fireman's carry, let me lock you in. Let me knock your neck in. Because there's just, like, Action Andretti's a little less experienced and not in this world. Zack Sabre Jr. is a technical wizard and the best technical wrestler in the world. It showed up at so many points in this match. He is on an all-time run right now. I'm going to call out my favorite things, and then I'll finally throw it over to you, because I understand I'm taking up a lot of oxygen with my said pretentious rant.
No, by all means, go ahead. Do it up.
Okay. I'll say this too. JR has not been my favorite on commentary, but him pointing out Zack Sabre Jr. has these like Billy Robinson-esque style. Zack Sabre Jr. is faster, but like very good comparison. I really liked that. But man, that standing twisting hammerlock thing that he did, I've seen the standing twisting neckbreaker on ROH and in New Japan too. So nasty. Like I said, the wearing down the wrist and the shoulder, the having Andretti in an arm lock and then hopping up on him to apply more of his weight to make it look even harder. And credit to Andretti too. A lot of really good stuff in here. The reverse Hurricanrana that he had with the shotgun drop kick. Awesome stuff. One-legged moonsault looked great, but ultimately this ends the way you knew it would. Andretti launching himself from the top rope, caught by Sabre, him catching people in cravats when they jump off the top rope, or going and meeting them at the top rope and putting in a cobra twist, usually assisted by the top rope. It's the second best thing you can do to a high flyer next to the walkaway spot. It's art. I love it so much. Yeah. He locks in the forearm that he was reaching for the rope with too, like pulling that back. He's been working over the arm all match, like just such good stuff. JR hints at that Danielson match. Everybody wants it. I'm one of those people, but I am so in on Zack Sabre Jr. for all of the work that I've seen from him recently. My goodness. Inspired stuff. Inspired stuff. What did you think? Are you as big of a mark as me?
You know what? I can consider myself one. You know what? I do. I own a couple of his shirts, and I've kind of just, he's one of them that I've actually paid attention to outside of the big, you know, obviously the big two, which is AEW and WWE. I do want to say this, seeing him perform more often now, right? He is so, he's like a Daniel Bryan, right? Style of wrestler. But Daniel's cool, but God, Sabre does this so seamlessly and so chill, and all the moves look really smooth that you can't even tell if, oh, did they plan this? Did they, you know, like, how is this supposed to go? Because even Andretti, like Andretti had some offense too and some defense that looked really good, and Sabre sold the heck out of it, and it just looks so great. And so to me, it's just like he's just so damn smooth with it, where I was just staring and going, wow, like it's just crazy. And I only say that because a lot of the time when you're watching a wrestling match, you kind of tend to see that they're going through the paces on screen and, you know, they're going, you know, through, but I don't see that with him, man. And I do hope that, you know, I see more of him on television, because and Andretti as well. He's kind of been. You know, I got to watch more Ring of Honor. That's what I got
to
do.
Well, they need to figure out who's in Ring of Honor, because right, Action Andretti has been on both programs. On He's both. One of those guys that's kind of floating. I really think Collision will help sort a lot of that out. But to your point, like, it just looks so effortless. And it's also it does. It's such an important thing, because I think when I first started watching wrestling, I would have been like, I don't get it with this guy. Like, this is why it's so important, in my opinion, to watch as many styles of an art form as you can, or listen to as many styles of an art form as you can, because I would be like, we didn't see a ton of it tonight, but a lot of his moveset is he holds in submissions for 4 seconds and then he'll switch, because the idea is if it doesn't work within those 4 to 6 seconds, it's not going to work. The guy's not going to tap out. So he'll switch, or he'll apply pressure in different ways. Like, I would have been like, this guy's ADD is worse than mine. Why is he switching positions? Like, I don't get it. But now it's my favorite thing in the world, and I'm like down this insane technical rabbit hole. So that's just a mea culpa of like, expose yourself to as much wrestling. But
and this is the thing about best professional wrestling in both brands, right? You have the entertainment aspect of it. You got the very physical aspect of it, like the Blackpool Combat Club that just wants to bleed and beat the crap out of each other. But then when you watch something like this, that middle of the way art style, which is the technical aspect of it, these are professional men and women doing this. And when you see something like this, this art being performed in front of you, it's beautiful. It's really cool, man. And yes, I'm now a mark.
I'm so glad. I'm also just an in-ring storytelling gal, so this is for me. Like, I feel like the best part about wrestling is wrestling. So that's part of why I'm on this kick. But we have the lovely late Princess Diana
time. Oh, wow. Again. This is so terrible, but cool at the same time.
You are missed. You are beloved. I'm so sorry what's happened to your family, but Princess Diana chime again saying Zachary hates the Tories and the rest of my pathetic family. Wow. So he's good in my book. I'm so sorry about what's happened to your lineage, but we appreciate you sending in your super chats. Guys, if Princess Di is sending in super chats from the beyond, you can send in a super chat, okay? Get in those super chats and humper chats to talk about whatever you would like to. But we had so much fun tonight. Some more Zack Sabre Jr. love. Ronald Hollick saying, where do you see the Zack Sabre Jr. and Samoan Joseph happening? Debut of Collision Forbidden Door or Hold It Off to Death Before Dishonor pay-per-view. This is a tricky one. This is a tricky one. And I think we'll have an idea after the June 4th tapings that are happening on Sunday. This should happen in a big spot. Forbidden Door feels wrong to me because it feels like Danielson's healthy. Zack Sabre Jr. is doing the best work of his career that I've seen. I think that you got to do that at Forbidden Door. And I think it's possible then you follow that up with Nigel McGuinness in the UK, which would just be like the perfect Bryan Danielson stretch of his career. Like it would warm my heart so much. The debut of Collision would be very fun, but there are rumors on FightfulSelect.com that maybe Samoa Joe might be working with somebody else. We've heard some maybe a different young punk of sorts that he might be working with, but who knows? There's a lot of things shifting. I'd also heard rumors of not CM reported Skunk? By us, but
is that who it is?
That is. By the way, Zack Sabre Jr.'s banger of a theme, if people are wondering. It's called Young Punks by the band Mass Lines. Some people were asking about it because it's a banger. There you go. Now you know. The more you
We know. Learned so much here. It's not just wrestling, friends. This is a place to come where you can come
well, I'm
and
a
learn.
Music nerd. So when there's a wrestler that like clearly makes music a part of their presentation, like go out of their way to make it a part of it, I always look it up because it's my favorite. I just
come and learn with Kate and Alex Friday nights.
That's what I love about wrestling, like the complexities of this art form and the ways that you could tie into presentation. It's just
Can
so
I
inspiring.
Say, I've watched more wrestling in the last 2.5 years than I have watched in any time period before that. And this is dating back to when I started watching wrestling way back when, including when I was a teenager during the Attitude Era. This is insane. Like the amount of wrestling on, and I'm not complaining. I'm extremely happy about it.
It's incredible. Like I said a couple of shows ago, and sorry if this is redundant for people who continue to watch. But like if you said in 2021 you were going to have Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné versus Willow Nightingale for the New Japan Strong Women's title, there's like 8 things people would have laughed at you for in that sentence. Like,
agreed.
You know what I mean?
Or that you would have this much prime time wrestling with prime time players in every single organization, you know? I think the only problem here are these tribalized fans that have to turn everything into some type of argument where, you know, they hope that WWE continues to block AEW and blah, blah, blah. Like, they don't understand the back end of it where people are getting paid and being able to pay their bills and stuff. It's just so sad.
That happens in music all the time too, like
in everything. And from what I've been told, now Joel kind of brought me up to speed with other people doing that.
We don't need to give Joel
not that guy. Okay, I'm sorry.
Not Joel. Not birthday boy Joel Pearl.
I read it on the internet.
There you go. Definitely don't go wish Joel Pearl a happy birthday.
Definitely not.
Yesterday, so. But you know what, Alex? We were sitting here. We're talking about elite performances, aren't we? We are talking about the best of the best from Zach Sheppy Jr. But sometimes your performance isn't as elite as you would like it to be. Okay. Mm. Sometimes your standing, twisting hammerlock isn't standing the way that you want it to be. Okay. Sometimes your stretch muffler ain't stretching the way that you were hoping. Sometimes
I'm attacked every Friday night.
Sometimes when you want to go meet someone at the top rope, you think you're high flying, right? Turns out you're just coming down into a cravat. It's not the way that you were hoping things were going to go for you, but there is something that can assist you. All right. And that's Blue Chew.
DC, these championship belts over here or those trophies up there, you could get one for what? I don't know. Maybe the hardest erection that you've ever had in your entire life, thanks to Blue Chew and the code Fightful. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever aspire to do that? Well, whether you have or you haven't, that's what could happen if you use Blue Chew and the code Fightful. Work with their online physicians, get approved. Blue Chew arrives straight to your door, safely, discreetly, quietly. Just pay $5 shipping when you use that code Fightful. It's got the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but it's a chewable, so it gets into your system faster. It causes that mood to strike when something isn't quite striking. Or maybe you just want the confidence that you know, are going to put on a trophy championship level performance. BlueChew.com, code Fightful. You know what's up.
Wow. Kate, I feel attacked a little bit when you like read those. I've said this last week. You're like dead, like locked into my eyes. And I don't know. I kind of like look away, down, up, left. I'm just scared.
Well, you should not be. Unless I did a technical wrestling segue into Blue Chew ad. That is not a personal attack on you. That is the nerdiest thing I could have ever done in my whole life.
But I love it. I'm down for it. And up with Blue Chew.
See? The student has become the master. I bring you in here. Look, sometimes the lady's looking to pounce like Willow, okay? You got to be prepared for these things.
Well, now, Fightful over dark or whatever you want to call it. It's getting dark in here.
It Fightful After Dark, man.
There it is, up. Yeah.
I got Matthew Hooks asking, what do you do with the Elite versus BCC if Danielson versus Zack Sabre Jr.? You know, you could bring in the rest of TMDK. Zack Sabre Jr. is in a stable as well. Mm. And you could do a multi-man match and have Danielson and Zack Sabre lead the way. Also, at last year's Forbidden Door, let's not forget, Danielson was injured and we were supposed to get this match. Claudio ended up being the surprise opponent and they're still in a stable together, right? So there's a lot of fun storytelling that was kind of going into that. A lot of possibilities. I think you need the Zack Sabre Jr. Danielson one-on-one match. You can figure out some other stuff, but the chat pointing out Shota with the Blackpool Combat Club. Moxley does have a young lion in New Japan, so that's a really fun possibility there as well. the chat also pointing out that Zack Sabre Jr. did once call them the Blackpool Country Club, which I appreciate. You didn't hear it a lot tonight, but he also has some of the best like in-ring jaw-jocking that you'll ever hear. He's just such a pretentious dickhead. It's a whole lot of fun.
Oh, wow.
But we're moving along to your New Japan Women's Strong title, which is just such a cool sentence to say, man. I love this for us. Willow and Emi Sakura, IT God, the other technical wizard, Chris Mueller, chiming in saying, I'm just here to cheer for Willow. It's impossible not to, man. This match was a blast. I loved what we got out of this.
Yeah.
Ultimately, we get Emmy escaping the pounce from Willow. I will say, Willow's matches, best commentated by Ian Riccaboni and Caprice for this reason, but no complaints. No complaints tonight. But I love Willow's reaction to Emmy escaping the pounce because she was pissed off and like, you can have this magnetic, fun, super enthusiastic energy when you come out, but like it's never lost on her that she's there to win a wrestling match. And I feel like already early in this New Japan run, we're seeing her matches open up a little bit where it's a little less formulaic. And I love that because it was kind of like come out with a ton of energy, has her Lady Hulk up spot, brings the straps down, pounce, powerbomb, such good stuff. But like, I feel like we're getting a little bit more diversity and substance in her matches, which I absolutely adore here. We do ultimately get a really big lariat from Willow, followed by a sit-down powerbomb as she retains. This was so much fun. Emi Sakura, of course, just an absolute legend at this. Also, commentary pointing out that she is a trainer and a great one at that. So this was just a whole bunch of fun. Absolutely adored this. Very excited to see what Willow is going to do with this New Japan title, especially because we do know that this was an audible. Mercedes was supposed to win, but got injured. Kind of excited to see what we get out of this. I think it's a healthy thing for New Japan Strong to have their title on shows like this. What did you think of this? And what are you looking to see from Willow and this title raid?
I said this last week. I love my big women that can freaking choke me out, punch me, and knock me out for a good old week. Like, please, by all means. And these two women had that and much more. Now, Willow did that Dr. Death powerbomb on her where so she was good. Like, oh my God. And by the way, Emmy's insane. I became a fan of her the minute she was brought into AEW to do those matches way back when in the pandemic days. So I believe that this woman, Willow, should continue this reign of just beating all the women that are like leveled with her. You know, like they have to match that intensity. The smile is great, but let's get above that. I want to see her steamroll people.
Some
of the lariats.
Huge lariats. Okay.
I was talking earlier about Vikino and doing the 450 splash outside of the ring, and that was ending my career. This woman can literally end my life. Okay. And I'd be happy about it.
It was great, and I think it helps that Emmy is in that same style in that world. Like, she comes from a really hard-hitting place, so this was just them beating the hell out of each other.
I love it.
I'll sign up for that on a Friday night, any day of the week. The chat calling a little bit for an Athena versus Willow match. Mm. They had a really great one in Ring of Honor. If you haven't seen it yet, I would recommend checking it out. Seeing it as a title-for-title situation, or just titles don't even have to be on the line, just as a championship pride type thing with this version of Athena, which is maybe my favorite title run in all of wrestling, next to Zack Sabre Jr. probably. I think that could be a whole hell of a lot of fun. I would like to see that. Maybe that could be a really fun Forbidden Door match. It could.
Yeah, tonight was like a mix of Battle of the Bells, Forbidden Door, all of it together. A great show, but yeah.
It was. Man, okay. We move along to our ROH Pure Title, Shibata and Lee Moriarty. I'm not going to give you the rundown on what Pure Title rules are entirely. I can't remember if they did that tonight because it's just, I love Pure matches, so I don't think about it actively. But there are specific rules with this title when it is being defended.
Yeah.
Closed fist punches, you get one open. You get three rope breaks, and what that does is creates really interesting ways to tell stories. Shibata on ROH last night was fighting one of his students from the LA dojo, and we got this really cool different story where his student Alex Coughlin had broken, he used his three rope breaks in like the first 3 minutes or whatever of the match. Like, he was just getting his ass kicked, and I absolutely loved that story, because the rest of it was him just trying to survive and Shibata almost being like, I taught you better than this, man. Like, such a fun device and such a fun way to set up a wrestling match.
Mm-hmm.
We had a whole hell of a lot of fun with Shibata and Lee Moriarty tonight. If you don't know, Shibata had an extremely serious brain bleed, had a very scary surgery where his brain was actually not in his head for a little bit and then put back in his head. The fact that he can get in the ring at all is incredible. The ROH Pure title for him is like such a fitting thing for his style. So there's a little bit of background for those of you who might not be familiar. For a lot of you who probably are, because you're probably a pretty big wrestling nerd like me, if you're watching a wrestling podcast. If you already knew all of that. But I felt like it was important to add in here. Tons and tons and tons of fun with Lee Moriarty and Shibata. But we get Lee breaking out of Shibata's sleeper and, wait, what do my notes say? Breaks out of Shibata. I'm sorry. Lee breaks out as Shibata applies a sleeper hold to make Lee fall asleep. I'm sorry for my messy notes. Shibata delivers the pin to the head for the victory. This was a blast. I thought this was a ton of fun. That sleeper, now that I'm saying the spot, I remember the sleeper as the counter was really, really fun here. I thought this was such a great showcase for Lee Moriarty, who also fits here. Like, I think you can get so lost in what he can do from an athletic standpoint. You can sometimes he showcases it pretty well as a mix, actually. But there's certain times where I think people might view him as more athletic than technically sound, but he's such a wonderful blend of both. Like, he has such a well-rounded skill set in that regard, where he can really draw you in with some of the flashier stuff he can do, but like on the mat, he is a wrestler's wrestler. I absolutely, absolutely loved this. Super fun way to go home on this. Kyle K. Sparks throwing our pure rules into the chat. If you need to see them, I will read them out. Thank you. No closed fists to the face.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
First is a warning, second is a DQ. Three rope breaks. I already went over. There's a 20 count to the floor. ROH has a 20 count. Important to remember. Title can change hands on countouts. Outside interference is an automatic termination of your contract. So there you go. There's your pure match. What did you think of this? I thought this was a whole heck of a lot of fun. And we'll talk about the post-match shortly after, because we get a next up challenger.
Yeah, once in a while I forget all about the rules, you know, and it's always good that, you know, that I pay attention to that, because of that situation where I've fallen in line with all wrestling just kind of being a blanket thing, you know, when it comes to the rules of what should happen and what shouldn't happen. And with these rules in place, it gives the match such a different feel and such a different vibe. I think that these two guys really went, I mean, they went above and beyond. And I have a feeling that this next person that came up, as you mentioned, he had the way he came out. I don't know if it was just me in my head. And I'm talking about Daniel Garcia. He had such a little swagger about him.
He did.
Like, he came out and he was like, bitch, that's my title to hold next. And like, he just like the little like wiggle move when he came into the room, I'm like, okay, I'm buying in, bro. I was like, this is what I want to see. And this is what I want to see out of Daniel Garcia. Not the stupid crap with the JS. I want to see him do exactly what they teased is going to happen between these two.
So I think that, well, a few things, by the way. Pure matches, because of the rules that you were alluding to, and because it is easy to default to what you're used to, commentary is extremely important. And I'm always praising Ian Riccaboni and Caprice Coleman for this, for where this title happens in ROH, because some of those matches feel a lot different when you don't have their incredible soundtrack running in the background. Like, they do the most incredible job of putting over. And no offense to anybody who was commentating tonight, but I missed it. I missed it tonight, because tons of offense. You're terrible at your job. But like, Ian and Caprice have been doing it so long and are so familiar with, like, this is how this device tells the story. It changes the way you watch the match so much. So if you liked what you saw tonight, I would encourage you to check it out with them in the background of pure matches. So Daniel Garcia has held this title before, twice, I believe.
Yes.
He's had a long-running feud with Wheeler Yuta for it. It's been some of my favorite Daniel Garcia work, and it's definitely been my favorite Wheeler Yuta work. He seems so at home in the ROH matches. Wheeler does. My only complaint, and it's a minor one, because we need Danny Garcia on our screens, okay? Is like, hey, how about an anybody else challenger? Because it's been like Wheeler and Garcia, Shibata, possibly back to Garcia again. A nice story for that title, because it has been kind of like champion, like all battling it out and true to the style of it. But if Danny Garcia does win it back, he needs to leave the JAS, which I'm hoping he does regardless. And we got to get some fresh blood in this picture, because it's really kind of been that way. Them being able to use the pure title as like a let's get this guy in for a one match situation, though, very, very powerful device. I just want to see a little bit more variety in that pure title picture, because it's been the same three dudes for a while tonight.
I agree.
But we have some people that are very excited about this. Kylie saying happy Pride Times 2. Love that. Thank you so much. Also, Shibata versus Garcia. Corey Stallings saying, watching Rampage and had a thought when Danny came out. Jericho has lost a lot of matches lately. I'm going where you're going with this, I think. And I feel like the JAS is about to blow up because Jericho is spiraling and Danny going to be a pro wrestler again. I definitely think that might be where we're headed with this. Like, this is the whole idea that Daniel Garcia has been a misfit in the JAS is great. It is now fatigued. Like, it is time to move on from that because he hasn't been really featured in any prominent stories in a while. And he is a phenomenal wrestler and a young phenom, and I don't want to see him get lost. Him returning to his roots as a pro wrestler with the Pure title, a delicious idea.
Agreed.
I don't know how, but since Sammy is trying to be a babyface, he needs to be Jericho's next feud. I just don't know how we get there. I think it's a pretty, you can get there pretty easily because they have such an extensive history. Like, Jericho could choose somebody else for a tag match. Like, he might just lean on Jake Hager because Sammy didn't win against MJF. Boom. Like, you're started there. I think there's a lot of fun ways you can go, but I do think if you're trying to turn Sammy face, you got to break him away from Jericho, and him being a Jericho opponent after their extensive history is probably a good way to go.
I feel like it's been done before when they had the Inner Circle. So, like, you know, like, I think if you're going to start breaking this group apart, I think everyone just starts going on their own, you know, kind of just like, all right, everyone loses faith in El Ocho, you know, and he just kind of just, you kind of just start trickling it down and everyone just moves on. I don't think it's necessary to have Sammy get into another spew with Jericho, you know. I don't think it's needed. And Sammy's so far and beyond anything that has to do with Jericho now, he stands on his own two feet. I don't think he needs that.
I will say, in ring wise, that's completely true. I think he could benefit from using the story with Jericho because character wise, he feels very lost to me. So they should do either one of two things, in my opinion. One, have this feud, or B, move on and just let him put on banger matches with way less promo and let it roll. Like, I think that's fine. I do feel like the back and forth with Jericho, was not necessarily the healthiest call. It feels like they kind of ran to that when the Scorpio Sky and Sammy feud fell apart a little bit. But we'll see. I'm excited to, I'm hoping with Collision coming up and Danny Garcia being in the ROH title, like, picture, maybe we're finally getting there. And I also want to see 2.0 causing chaos all over the place. Right.
Oh yeah.
They're so funny. I want them with or without the Jericho Appreciation Society. We got a final chat rounding us out. This goes back to the Aubrey stuff, saying that harmless pro wrestling nonsense, in my opinion, for Aubrey and Karen Jarrett, it is going to drive all those pathetic Aubrey haters crazy. I'm for it. Look, if it's going to drive some nerds crazy, I'm in. I'm kind of in on, I'm in on that piece of it. I still don't want to see it. But if I get a Jeff Jarrett low blow out of it and people freaking out for no reason, just mass hysteria, I'm kind of in on that.
Yeah.
Guys, get in your super chats and your humper chats. We wrapped up Rampage. We are going to swing into SmackDown. I gotta say, off the bat, I felt like the ending segment was phenomenal. I felt like the rest of the show was pretty lacking, and I have some questions. And I hate revolving door promos. So we're going to talk about the Women's Money in the Bank promo setup that we got. But what did you think of SmackDown overall tonight?
I think SmackDown was just one giant promo. Like you just mentioned, like all it was one ginormous lead. I mean, everything was about the 1,000 day plus reign. Like, showing the timeline and who he beat. Like, I kind of lost touch with what was happening in the show or who was fighting. Even having, what's his name, Austin Theory, have to promote him. Like, hey, tonight, you know, the great tribal chief. Da, 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 da. I'm like, why would you do that? No, just let him do him. Don't involve him in this, you know? But I felt like the whole show just kind of, I lost touch with the show because everything surrounded that belt. And this show is, it just goes so fast to begin with. And having, you know, these promos overtake everything, the show seemed even to go even faster. And all I was looking forward to was the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, that, it was kind of a shame. And I think it is telling. It seems like this tends to be the pattern when we don't get those match cards in advance or when match cards change. Like,
also, don't mean to interrupt you, but there was someone who was really high, and I'm pretty sure H is too, but someone was really high on Austin Theory before. And we know who that is. And all of a sudden, in the last couple weeks, we've seen Mr. Theory be like, I said this last week, that he's been getting better and I love him being on television, but he's really getting out more and more and more steam out there on television.
I don't necessarily feel that way. He's
heading to 1,000 days of US title, so don't worry, you know, we're gonna get there.
I will quit the show. This was not for me. We do, as you mentioned, we get a ton of video packages today that are around the Roman Reigns 1,000-day title reign. We get nods to the Lesnar forklift match. We get a ton of this stuff throughout the show. But we do get this weird Austin Theory promo where he's promoting the Tribal Chief, as you do as a fellow heel, I guess.
Tribal Chef,
for sure. I don't know, man. We started with Theory and Pretty Deadly versus the Brawling Brutes. This just is not working for me. I really like most of the people involved in this as well. It feels like this is dragging down the Brawling Brutes rather than lifting up Austin Theory and Pretty Deadly. And I really like Pretty Deadly. We eventually get a little like twin magic spot with Prince and Wilson, which I love because they don't look alike. They just work. So we get that with a spilt milk and then Theory tagging in to get the pin and the win. Part of my issue with Austin Theory is they're building him out like he's something extremely special, and he only wins in these cheap ways and they're not clever. And I feel like, for me, it's not something that's really been working. I understand where people do like him, and I think he's really good in the ring, which is kind of why I don't want him to have these cheap wins. I would buy that this guy could win a match clean or, like, not in a cowardly way. I'd buy it. He knows what he's doing in there. I don't like this, and I don't feel like Pretty Deadly is the right fit for underlings for him. And I don't think he's at a place where he can kind of carry a trio like that. Like, it doesn't work. I don't know if this is a temporary angle. I'm hoping to kind of counteract the Brawling Brutes a little bit. And I love seeing Pretty Deadly on the main roster. They're fantastic. But I said this last week and I felt the same way. I don't want the tag team division to just be serving single stars, because there's a difference between a trio and a singles guy in a tag team. Like, a really big difference. And it just feels like so many of these tag teams are getting used to support singles people. And, you know, up until recently, that included your tag team champions. Just kind of cheap. So I didn't love this. I do love Pretty Deadly, though. I think they're a riot. That Twin Magic spot killed me today.
Yeah.
I don't like the way that Austin Theory is winning. It doesn't feel clever heel. It feels like he's playing down his own skill set, in my opinion. Right. But what did you think of our opener?
But that's not his fault, right? We know that this is all, you go out there like a movie scene, somebody writes this for you, right? And not, you know, pulling the curtain back. If you've never watched pro wrestling, shocker. But that goes in line with just how they're telling him to finish the matches. If he doesn't put in any input into it, like, hey, maybe we should do something different, and he's just writing the punches of how they finish matches, and that's what we're stuck with, you know, unfortunately. I mean, I have to agree with everything that you said with Pretty Deadly and how the match went about. It just didn't start off the way I wanted it to, you know. It was just very... very, 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 and I understand it's very historic. I understand that. But, you know, it's WWE. We write our own history. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they've made sure that it was the most important feeling.
I know.
The entire time, and at the expense of the rest of the roster.
So that's exactly it.
Replay all this stuff. I'm like, oh right, yeah. You like remember when you ruined Big E for no reason in this whole process? Like that's where my mind goes to is the missed opportunities and that piece of it, which is a bummer.
But and I love the and then Wade Barrett had that weird way of talking about what's their name, Pretty Deadly. Like he was trying to explain who they were or whatever. I don't know. I tuned them out.
Yeah.
There was a point there in commentary table where I was like, what is happening right now?
Yeah, it was a little all over the place. And again, who knows if this show was being changed last minute, that affects commentary too. Cause Wade Barrett's normally a pro at this. He's really, really good. There's people agreeing with us sending in chats. Anthony Velasquez saying it seemed like all WWE cared about was the Roman celebration and everything else was very secondary. Yes, it did feel that way. We see you. We agree with you on that. Arduit saying, showing up late, but happy Pride and happy wrestling. We use elbow Pride, drops to baby. Protect trans kids. Yes, we do. We're pro-trans, pro-gay, pro-wrestling. We love it. But I'm with you on that. I'm
sorry. I didn't need to go on a negative rant.
You don't have to apologize.
But it's just, I know. I know, but it's just, you know. I know I'm going to get, you know, the big old.
No, they're going to do that.
The
too
old
anyway,
big Twitter finger wag.
No. They're going to do that regardless of what side you take. But it's, I guess, and the other piece of it is like I really like the Brawling Brutes, so it feels like they're being played down in this, and that's what I don't want to see. I want to see Pete Dunne putting on. Like,
Pete Dunne, not Booch.
Yeah, crazy bangers. But some people liked it, and good for them.
Did you just call them the crazy bangers?
That would be fun. We had the Bang Bros for a while, right?
That is an awesome name. I am trademarking that tonight.
There you go. TM, you owe me royalties.
Shit.
Tom LaValle saying, shout out to Denise interviewing the ace of NWA, Camille. The only champion, I'm not going to say the only champion, the only world champion that matters over there for sure.
Mm.
Camille's great. She's having a historic title reign herself. Watch women's wrestling of NWA and the undercard of NWA and not the world title.
I feel she's being overlooked, unfortunately.
No, women's wrestling overlooked in NWA. Get out of town.
Yeah, I know. She is incredible. Like, she has the body, the look, the attitude. And unless something is happening somewhere that we don't know about, there's no reason why this awesome professional wrestler is not being featured somewhere higher than next to Tyrus.
Well, we'll see though, because she is, she's also grown a lot with this title reign. Like, I give credit where it's due, and that comes from NWA trusting her with the title and her putting in a ton of hard work. Because in the beginning, it wasn't really clicking for me. Correct. And then anytime I've seen her over the past year or so, it's just been tremendous growth, really settling into who she is and her style and understanding just how she participates in wrestling matches in a totally different way. Like, I love when I see that kind of progress. That's the, as much as we get sour on Tuesday nights with NXT, the rewarding part of that is seeing, like, look at Tiffany Stratton, man. Like, the growth that she's shown is just insane. Like, it's so rewarding to see people's hard work pay off. I love that part of this job. I love getting to talk about that stuff. It makes me happy. We got another chat from Bronson Wright Wolf saying Steve Austin was in Grown Ups 2 towards the end of the movie. I love how he and Adam Sandler were about to get in a fist fight with each other. I love that too. I wish there were more grown-ups in wrestling than minors, but I'll take it. We move on to the Good Brothers and Hit Row with this odd little promo. Happy birthday to AJ Styles, but AJ Styles says what he really wants for his birthday is for them to take out Hit Row. And I don't know. I'm loving Mia Yim and all the crap she was talking online about and with Swerve. That made me laugh. With Hit Row. But this Hit Row stuff, it feels like they brought them back with this really big presentation. And they still lean into that big presentation, but they kind of just have them job out in these short matches where they're losing all the time. Not much to talk about with this quote-unquote match.
they're just literally out there as pawns right now.
It is. And for for a unit with such effort put behind them from a presentational standpoint, it's kind of odd that they treat them essentially like enhancement talents. I don't know what the disconnect is there, but I hope they figure that out soon, because if you give them this kind of presentation, they should be doing more than this. They should be doing more than this. But Gallus runs over Adonis with a back elbow. Anderson tags in. They hit the magic killer, and we're done. That is what we went home with.
That's it.
I like the OC looking strong, though. I think it was the right booking decision. I just don't understand why you make Hit Row kind of look like chumps in the process. But this is good. The OC was doing literally nothing while AJ Styles was out. I like seeing Mia Yim or Mi Chin in something consistent. And in this unit, I feel like she's a natural fit with them. But Trey Cash with a very generous humper chat. Thank you so much. Says, I really wish the OC would have went to AEW. They were positioned as one of the best tag teams in the world, and now they are just AJ sidekicks. Hopefully they get back in the tag picture. I completely get the appeal of the OC. They're just not like the most for me tag team in the world. So I don't really have a problem with them more kind of being in AJ's background than heavily featured, just out of taste. Like, they're not my favorite team. So them playing this role, I think they play it pretty well. I'm fine with that. But I can understand if there's someone that you're kind of rooting for, wanting to see more from them. I feel like they should have been featured at all while AJ Styles is out. Like, they really just...
They had nothing for him because he's attached to them. Like, yeah, or like, they're attached to him, I should say. Sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off.
No. All good. Rhea Ripley, like, delivered some moves, and that was it for them for a while, it felt like. But what are your thoughts on the OC? Are you hoping they get pushed in addition to AJ here?
To me, they were one of the hottest factions known to like, what was it, 2016, 17? Was when they showed up all of a sudden on Raw. I remember I was on a movie set and I got a call and I was like, oh my God, look. I was like, what? No, I got to stop. I got to go watch that. And it was insane. And that whole ride, that fake television show that they did as those two different characters was great with John Cena.
Yes, that was very fun.
The Mid-South Wrestling, whatever that was.
Yeah. Talking Shop Mania.
That
shit rules.
They were in a row. They were doing, then they, you know, obviously the cuts happened and they came back, and this has been the worst booking for these two that I have seen them in. And it's unfortunate because I don't know how much longer like someone like Gallows has in the tank, you know what I'm saying? Like, and he's a big dude, you know, like he's taking care of himself or whatever, but he's you can see he's a little bit slower in the ring. So I want to see them be the heavies, be the OC. That kind of happened when they were brought back together. AJ Styles gave the big speech. We're back. This is who we are. Wah! And then nothing happened. It's just been dead. And I understand he got injured. But if you're injured, you take the rest of the group and you build them. Just like you've done with the Judgment Day. The Judgment Day was crap. And look at them now. I know you're about to say they're still crap, but I think they've done well for themselves.
3/4 of them are great. I do understand where you're coming from. I do also think that maybe, hopefully, with the tag picture finally moving on from this Uso stuff, we'll have some more opportunities.
Oh, you like free it up? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Do you feel deep? Like, we've seen tag teams, you and I, that we have faith in, and they've actually been used, and they come out on the other side doing well. Do you feel it like these two might have that? I just don't feel like they're being... It's just like Hit Row. Like, they came back with a lot of fire, and then it's just been dead, man.
I don't know if they're at the place where they're going to be, like, a serious contender. Like, I think that's just not the role that they're meant to play in WWE. And I actually kind of think maybe that's not the worst thing. But I think you could do a really fun program with the OC, right? The Good Brothers versus these guys who have had this brother-like relationship. I think there's plenty of juice that you could tap into. Mm-hmm. And I think there's great ways to use veteran utility tag teams that are more than just throwing up a two sweet and calling it a day. So
that's what they're doing right now, my friend.
A happy medium, but
I will take that. Last week I was so happy and just chill and let me take it in stroll. Today you're that.
Well, it's also easier when it's not someone that there's so many tag teams I think I want to see ahead of the OC get pushed that I've been waiting on.
Like, I want,
like, you know what I mean? Like, give me the Viking Raiders in some like real work against them. Give me DIY, give me Chad Gable and whoever the hell, I don't care. Like, there's so many Imperium.
See, like, that's what I feel. I feel like they're going to be set up to go down to people like Imperium and DIY, and they're just going to... I think that's the problem. I think in my head, that's where Anderson and Gallows are going to end up being. Just, you know, just jobbing out, unfortunately, like, not to use that term, but just kind of laying down to these other tag teams that are going to be put up top.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the... If I was booking it, I don't know if I'm booking it that differently. I just wouldn't. I wouldn't kick them off TV just because AJ Styles got injured. You know,
of
what
course,
I mean?
Right? That's what I meant. Yeah.
There's a way to make people feel important even when they're losing. I'll say that.
Thank you.
Like, that's, I love that. There's no reason anybody has to look bad. If you want to squash people, that's what you have enhancement talent for. Word. There's no need to make people look like nerds, Alex. Okay. But you might want to look into Nord, all right? You might want to look into the best VPN in the game, all right? Sean Rossap's here to tell you all about it.
NordVPN.com/Fightful. Block online trackers, annoying pop-up ads, unlock geo-blocked content. Maybe you miss the WWE Network. Maybe you want that AEW+. Maybe you want to subscribe to overseas services so you can get UFC pay-per-views at a reduced rate. Well, NordVPN.com/Fightful allows you to do that. And you can do it with 4 months for free with that link. Not only that, you get your 30-day money-back guarantee as well, just in case you don't like it for any reason. It works on all of your devices so you can do this stuff wherever you are. Maybe you're on that unsecured Wi-Fi at the airport, the hotel. Yeah, it can be dangerous. Your info is at risk. But you can still gain access to all that stuff. Check out all of your favorite shows, or maybe shows you haven't discovered before, with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Now with multiple tiers, so you can get whatever services that you want. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
My favorite part of all those commercials is just that, like, he'll have furniture in one, and then...
You see the stages of Sean's move throughout the recordings. It's so much fun.
I love it.
So much fun. Moving along, we get we get a call from Alex Pulowski, who you can check out his review, which will be even sourer than ours, about hat puns for Lacey Evans. Thank you for that, Mr. Pulowski. Dakota Kai was... We're going to get to Lacey. But we have Grayson Waller effect with Asuka. And this started out great. And then it spiraled into something so dumb. God, I was so mad. I was loving the beginning of it. But we essentially start with Asuka, who is warmly received as a heel, but like, people are excited that she won the title, sincerely, I think, which warms my heart because I've been hoping this would be the case for a while. But she called Io stupid in Japanese, while Io called Asuka piece of shit, which rules. And I was so excited about what we were talking with here. Talk about Money in the Bank, set me up some Io Sky and Asuka. But then Bayley comes out, and I'm even okay with Bayley coming out. She comes in and she says they're both going to qualify to win Money in the Bank matches, and one of them will win, and it's going to be a member of Damage Control with the title. Leave it there is all I ask. Just leave it at the three of them, because this furthers the Damage Control breakup storyline. And this also leans heavily into the idea of Io and Asuka, which I've been asking for like a decade.
Yeah.
And that all makes sense story-wise, but then Shotzi interrupts, because of course she does. Why not have a revolving door segment? She wants to crush Bailey's dreams. And then Lacey Evans comes out and Lacey says none of them are going to take the contract because she's here. And then Zelina Vega comes out and she's being underestimated just like everyone did with Rhea Ripley. No, no, no to all of this. The first half of this was so great. And then after Bayley, went kind of downhill. Not a fan. Don't need it. You can just have people. You can just have people. Win qualifiers. Enter the match a different way. We don't need them on the Grayson Waller effect. Seems kind of completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
And we got to talk about Lacey's hat. And who better to do that with than our friend Alex Pulowski. Alex, how are you today?
Pretty good. I'm going on vacation in the morning.
You have a nefarious look on your face, and I am concerned.
Well, listen, I'm going on vacation in the morning. I just came to say goodbye to everybody one last time. I came to say to be a good guy and show everybody Lacey's new hat.
There it is. That's what we were looking for.
She's the daughter of Slaughter, and that's what I'm calling her. She's the daughter of Slaughter. She's wearing that hat. That hat, for those of you who can't tell because I had to blow it up so much, that has a glittery cobra on it because it's glittery. It's sparkly. It's bedazzled. It's a cobra on her Sergeant Slaughter hat because she wins matches with the cobra clutch, don't you know? Or she would if she were ever to book to win a match, but so far that's eluded her. But anyway, she came down here wearing a fancy new hat. Basically, Lacey used to be like 90% fancy hats, and then they changed her character for the second time. But it was mostly hats. She was just mostly hats, and I'm glad that she's gotten back to being a haberdasher, because now somebody went to a store and said, "I need you to make me this. And could you put a cobra on my hat?" So
you don't think that was custom made?
I think that was custom made at a store. They had to go somewhere.
I want to add something. For those of you who don't know, leave that picture up. I'm behind Lacey right now, somewhere behind her mic. I want to let you guys know that is called a Smokey Bear hat. Mm-hmm. That is a drill instructor cover, as mm-hmm. we like to call it in the Marine Corps. Mm-hmm. Where her beautiful bedazzled cobra is at in the front, it would be replaced and you would have the Eagle Globe and Anchor in front of there. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most feared looking covers in the military. When you see the drill instructor coming towards you, you're either shitting your pants or you're about to get destroyed and lose about 180 pounds in sweat. Mm-hmm. This, my friends, she completely shit on that and it looks horrible. Not even Sergeant Slaughter himself in the era of gimmicky cartoons did he take the Smokey Bear and fuck it up as much as this woman? Okay. I am sorry. I don't curse,
but
I am angry.
You should be.
But how else would she let people know that were she ever to win a match, she would do it via the Cobra Clutch? If not, by stuffing a cobra and affixing it to her hat with some glitter on it. Like, there's only one way of telling everybody that, I feel. You know? I mean...
Yeah, that's true, because...
I am so upset by that. I am sorry. There's just certain things I take to the heart. I understand it's the wrestling business, but I look back at even the most gimmicky gimmicks of gimmicks. And Colonel, whatever his name was, Parker from WCW back in the day, ran around with an actual Marine as well. He as a Marine, all he did was come out with his camouflage pants and a shirt showing tons of clavicle that said USMC across it. That was the worst that I probably saw. This is bad. I don't know
what else. I think that, Alex, maybe you just don't get it. She uses a cobra clutch.
Yeah, no,
and so it's a cobra on the... See, I think Zack Sabre Jr. needs to use this when he uses the cobra
some skin. Twist.
Zack Sabre Jr., that hat, mm-hmm. top rope mm-hmm. assisted cobra twist. You should have to wear it.
When she first came out, I couldn't see what was on the hat. It was just a hat. Like she was wearing the Sergeant Slaughter hat, and I was like, oh no, not the hat. And then they did a close up of her, And I was like, there's a snake on the hat.
I saw it on Instagram.
It's a cobra. It's a cobra on the hat. And the cobra is sparkly. And I had to go digging for some screenshot. That was as close as I could find to something that actually looked good. But if it's on Insta, I got to find it on Insta.
I don't know if she's trying to like look the part. I understand this is a hard business. And she's not really moving the needle or doing anything, right? They're just feeding her to other opponents. And I understand that, like, she wants to get back to a certain prominent spot. I respect her for that. She's a worker. She's a Marine. But goddamn, let's have a little decency and respect for our uniform that we both wore, my friend, around the same goddamn time period. And let's not bedazzle the shit out of our goddamn Smokey Bear hat that we wear to represent our dear, loved Marine Corps. I'm done. Goodbye.
There's a snake on my hat.
Sorry.
Jonathan Discretion said, hold my beer. When I said Jonathan Discretion, I was not insulting Jonathan Gresham. It was just a funny pun.
No.
I'm just funny. And you said referee's discretion needs to be the discretioniest. And I said Jonathan Discretion.
Can I be honest? If she took, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, if they took the approach of something like a Darby Allin and Sting, and they would have done that with her and Sergeant Slaughter, even if Sergeant Slaughter couldn't make it a lot because he's 136. Yeah. I think it would have been cool to kind of just have her come in dressed in really cool gear, and I would have loved it. I would have been behind her. I would have said she's a goofy ass looking person right now, but she's working and she's doing it. Like, she's, you know, putting it in all the effort in the ring. God, this cobra hat just put me over the edge, I think. I'm sorry.
You don't have to apologize. You of anybody is the most qualified.
The thing is, I'll get my jokes off, but like, you actually have a real reason for hating it so much. that's the best. That's when the rant comes from a place of deep, real disrespect. That's the best rant. You know,
I would even say Alex is a rant connoisseur, and he would not. So
I know my rants, and that, sir, was grade A. Grade A.
It's just nice to see that they're trying something different with Lacey. She doesn't, they haven't really put any repackaging efforts behind her. So,
right. No, she's been the same thing basically since she got to NXT.
So traditional, really.
I think she's really trying hard, and hey.
Yep.
Well, not hard enough because she gets fed to Zelina Vega here in about a minute and a half.
No, that's the thing. She beats
Look at that guy. Do I look like I'm disrespecting my uniform? No. This is circa 2001, right before heading in overseas, my friends. Look at that bastard, okay?
We got a code red from Zelina and a 3. There's not much to talk about beyond that.
That was the one offensive move Zelina hit in the entire 90 seconds. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I love Zelina, though. Let her put her up there.
She's great.
She's great, but they should book her to win with more than one offensive maneuver.
I agree.
Well, they should give women's matches more than 20 seconds but
also true.
But yeah, and it's weird that you unveil, repackage someone to have them lose in this fashion this quickly to not qualify for Money in the Bank. Just an odd choice. Odd choice to bring someone back to do that. This is an odd move. I don't understand. Like, why are you doing this? It popped Alex, though, so now
It's just you hit it right on the nose, and it's making me laugh because I remember the last thing I remember about her was this one time she came to the ring. You remember she used to bend over by the ropes before she went in?
Oh, yeah.
Because she used to wear the little skirt. The cameraman zoomed in into her ass one time. And that was, I think that guy got in trouble, and they never did that again. But I hope so. But I remember, like, he zoomed right in there. And I was like, that's the last impression I remember of Lacey. And that's it. After that, they repackaged her and tried. And this is where we're at.
Well, and to her credit, she, like, spilled out the trauma of her life in 5 promos.
Oh, that too. Gosh.
And then they were like, we don't know if you're a heel or a face, even though you just went to the depths of your own personal hell for our creative gain. pulled her off TV.
Our creative game.
They like gave this push to this all-American woman, did not win Money in the Bank, yanked her off TV. She had a baby, I think.
Yes.
Now she's coming back with this. And they are like, you are coming back with all of the tenacity to lose to Zelina Vega for a qualifying match in 2 minutes. What are we doing?
I'm still convinced they were on a path where they were going to have her face Charlotte for the women's title. They were going to have her beat Asuka, who was currently with SmackDown Women's title. They're going to have her face Charlotte because she was dating or at least making time with Ric Flair. And when she announced she was pregnant, Ric Flair in character reacted as though he was the father. And then we found out, it's not an angle. She's actually pregnant. And then they retconned the whole Ric Flair going, woo, woo. Slip one past the goalie after all these years. Woo.
The race again in the chat. Kid. Remember, she was pregnant by Ric Flair. LOL.
And she was like, I'm with a real man. You remember that? She used to have a really deep Southern accent. Now she's just like, she don't even talk.
God. Yeah. Yeah. That was great. Anyway.
Well, we'll see what hat she comes out in next week.
Oh, God.
She is mostly hats.
She's mostly hats.
She is mostly hats.
They reboot this poor woman who put her heart out to the depths of the hell that she actually went through. And they're like, you're still mostly hats. We get the LWO celebrating backstage. We find out we're getting Santos versus Ali as a qualifier. Very excited for the match. Very confused as Ali just went back to NXT, but I guess he's abusing his free agent rights. I can't even be mad about like, well, what if Rand is here? I want to see Santos and Ali so bad. We're also going to get Butch versus Corbin. So I guess we're just keeping this free agent business going. Got to be Peter Dunne for England, Louis says, though. I think those are good setup matches. I'll take all this.
I'm happy right now already for Pete Dunne and Santos Escobar. Good for them for qualifying for the Money in the Bank match in a week, because they're definitely going to do those things. And awesome for Pete Dunne, because he's going to get to have that awesome match and show out, not win it, but he's going to do it in England. That's going to be great for him. And Santos is a star in the making. That's great. And Mustafa Ali and Baron Corbin are obviously doing something else very important on NXT. Yes. It's not like they like get dropped back down to catering or something afterwards. They have other things to do after they both lose next week. But it doesn't matter. Because the last thing I'll say before I leave you is that the real winner of Money in the Bank won his qualifying match tonight, and it's going to be a summer of L.A., baby. Larry Aloysius all the way. I got to go. I got to get some sleep. I got to get on the road at like 7 in the morning. So bye, everybody.
Have a safe trip, vacation. Sir.
I will see you later. Bye.
Later, nerd. Alex has not taken a vacation in the entire time that I've been at Fightful. That is where that man's commitment to what we do has been. I mean, a single Tuesday off. So I am so happy for him. I hope he doesn't get too relaxed. Like, if he doesn't come back equally as sour, I'll be upset. Like, he'll never be able to go on a vacation again.
No way.
If he's like, I'm chilled out. I'm good. I'm not here for that. All right. So have a great vacation, Alex. I'm so excited for LA Knight. I think it's very possible he's your Money in the Bank winner because him with the briefcase just feels right, right? Like his character carrying that thing around, using it to his advantage, I think could be really, really great. It could be so, so, so much fun. My only complaint is I feel like Montez Ford should probably be in this match too. I don't know if I like them going up against each other because I think Montez Ford could do so many fun things in a Money in the Bank ladder match. So I felt like one of them having to lose was not the move, but it was a good enough match. We get a fun end to it too, that I kind of dug. We get a from the heavens from Montez Ford, but LA Knight rolling away and they trade O'Connor rolls by the ropes. I don't like roll-ups, but I like O'Connor rolls when they're done in a fuller context than just like, oh my gosh, someone's music hit. Oh, I got rolled up. This was fun. LA Knight grabbing the ropes to cheat because he's a heel.
Because he's right?
This is a perfectly fine ending. This was, if you're going to do O'Connor rules, this is the way to do it. Don't know if any Montez Ford losing in the first round of a qualifier here, but technically he's in a tag team, so I'm not necessarily mad about that. LA Knight is also my pick to win it. We'll see what they end up doing. It's a little tricky because we have this Cody and Brock thing looming, right? Like, Cody could win Money in the Bank. Brock could cost Cody Money in the Bank. There's a lot of ways that this could go. What were your thoughts on the match, and what are you thinking for Money in the Bank?
He has to be the clear-cut winner, right? He's been kind of on the wayside, doing all this talking, but not really being involved in anything important. So this is like your first step there. But if he wins Money in the Bank, who does he go for? Where does he go? Like, that's the interesting part, right? And I can see him being a world champion. He would be amazing, by the way. I think that he would go after, I don't know, whoever he wants, I guess. No, do they have separate ones this year? No. You just pick on who you want to fight, right?
I think it's a pick who you want to fight deal. Like, oh, I'm sure we'll Here find we go out again. More clarity. But I will say, it does feel like, Roman Reigns is probably not waiting till WrestleMania based on what we saw later tonight.
Oh, yeah.
They really seem to expedite the storyline. And so it's not really who would dethrone Roman, because I think we have an idea of who that might be. So there's not so much weight behind who wins Money in the Bank, because I could see a face LA Knight dethroning Jay or vice versa. Like, there's a lot of fun to be had.
You're right.
Or traditional champions between that time. Like, there's a lot of good things that could.
He can hold it. He doesn't need to go after someone immediately either. You know what I'm saying? Do that old school heel trickery that we love.
It's true. We do love heel trickery.
Yes.
We'll take it.
Plus, we want to see him be meaningful on television.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. But that brings us to what this whole episode was really built around. And look, I wish they had put more effort into the rest of the episode, but this go-home segment was super, super, super well done. Yes. But before we dig into the ending of the show, which I thought went the way that it should have gone and was well done. How are you feeling about this new belt? Ricardo with no surname, the surnameless Ricardo, says that new belt sucks. Should have done something else. I didn't love it. Not the worst. I mean, the worst belt on TV was actually Zack Sabre Jr.'s. We saw that before. It looks like a chocolate watch with gold foil over it. It's a terrible looking belt. It's my favorite belt right now in all of wrestling. Not looking great. I feel like this doesn't feel like it has the prestige that the dual belts had. I feel like both of the separate belts look better than this, but I don't hate it. And it kind of looks in tandem with the belt that we have on Raw with the World Heavyweight title, right? Like, definitely not the best, definitely not the Winged Eagle belt, definitely not like great, but not the most hideous belt that we've ever seen. In my opinion, what did you think?
I was so dead set. I was like, oh man, I hope this belt's like as close to the, does it look like a UFC, boxing title? Does it look like, the AEW title that looks like one of the, real fight titles in UFC and boxing and mixed martial arts? God damn, when they freaking unveiled those, I had the same look as Roman did. He's like, what the hell is that? He looked down. He's like, I'm already wearing it. I mean, lazy. You took the WWE title, control C, control V, and put it in Photoshop and turned it blue. And then you control copy again and control paste it, and you added gold to it.
This man is currently on vacation.
I know. Look at that.
I respect it.
I wanted to see something bigger. I wanted to see something more. Especially because it's the WWE title. Okay. So it means a lot more than just the heavyweight, which was just brought in because WCW was out of the picture, and they wanted to bring in an extra title.
Well, we can't complain that the food is bad and the portions are too small, right? If we're asking them not to make the Raw one feel like a secondary belt, these belts should look equivalent, if not the same. But that being said, they probably could have made the heavyweight one look a little nicer and this one look a lot nicer.
It's all right. I like it. I mean, no, at the don't. End of the day, it's pretty. You know, it has gold. The Snoop Dogg belt will be the new belt.
The Snoop Dogg belt should be the new belt. I agree with you.
I think at the end of the day, can I be frank here for a minute?
Of course you can.
It's essentially, you're also talking about a company that has to sell toys. It has to sell merch.
That's true. Okay.
So you got to take everything that they're doing and turn it into a profit with toys and everything else. So
you want to buy an ugly belt. There you go.
Boom.
There are uglier belts. I think it was just like, there was so much talk around Cody was like, I'm going to win against Roman and I'm going to bring back the Winged Eagle, which is probably the best looking belt, if not one of the best looking belts of all time. And this feels like a step down.
We'll get used to it. You know,
it's also the color gold that it looks like, and that can sometimes look different under the light. It looks like such a yellowy gold, which is not my
favorite. I hope he comes out with all three belts on. He has to continue coming and having Paul Heyman hold the other two, and he still comes out with that one. Like,
by God, he's the belt collector, but in one promotion.
Love that.
So we have 15 minutes left when this happens, which indicates we're probably going to get some shit going down, which I will take. But we've got Jimmy coming out here. Earlier in the night, we have Paul Heyman telling Solo Sikoa, this needs to be special. This needs to be a special night for Roman and his 1,000 days. Okay. This is a celebration. You keep those nasty Usos away. This had very white girl birthday month energy to it, and I loved it. It was very, it's her 30th birthday, and we all know, like, it's hard when you turn 30. Like, you start evaluating where you are in your life. So we just want it to be so special. We're not going to have any drama. This felt very much that to me. Red, great. I love it from Paul Heyman. But at the end of the night here, we get Jimmy face-to-face with Romo. Jay's just pacing behind Jimmy here. He's been so money through this whole story. I absolutely love it. And Roman tells Jay to superkick Jimmy. It's the only way that it'll make things right. Jay says, what do you say fuck me for? Basically, he's like, Jimmy's the one that kicked you. How am I going to be the guy to make it right? And then we get a nice little chit-chat about how brothers treat brothers with love and respect. And what has Roman done for them lately? What kind of brother is a manipulative dude who betrays people? And they say that once Roman is done using Solo, they're going to toss him aside too. So you got Jay mired in what he's mired in. Jimmy kind of sitting pretty here. And Solo starting to toil on what his next move is going to be, which is like the most important chess piece that comes into play for this phase of what's happening, in my opinion, because I think we can see where the rest of this might be going. Jay says he needs both of them. Poor Jay is just always caught in the middle with Sammy, with this. Jay's just always walking up the ramp in disrepair. Like, he's just always so torn apart. He says they're family. He's quoting Vin Diesel out here. Love it. Good stuff. Jimmy hears the reason behind it, and he says, you know what? You're right. Let's come back together. And the casual Roman, is so good. Damn, was it so good how he was like, nope. Why? Why would I give a crap? You guys lost your tag titles. What good are you to me anymore? Nope, we don't need to come together. I've got 400 titles. I'm celebrating 1,000 days out here. I got the hot, younger, sexier Uso with me, the Solo Sikoa, who's not losing all the time like you guys are.
Sure.
And Solo Samoa spikes him. And off we
That was go it.
To the races here. I love the Samoan spike on Jimmy. Roman looks on. Jay is checking on Jimmy as we walk away here. And Solo just staring. Just standing over his brothers in this, but actual cousin, just glaring. Oh, it was so good. And it had to be because it was like one of two good things on the show. So, but I thought this was super well done. Like, as burned out as the storyline goes and gets, and then it heats back up and whatever, Roman's work and stuff like this is so good. He's just so controlled. And Jay in this role has been great. Jimmy coming alive is so good. And Solo has just every beat of the story since he walked in at Clash of the Castle. He's just nailed it. Like, it's been really, 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 really good. I am excited. And I think we're probably leading to Jey Uso dethroning Roman Reigns, which is maybe the only better alternative from a storyline perspective than Sami Zayn. I feel like they still definitely missed some great opportunities with Sami and Cody and Drew. But if their eventual payoff here is this, I'm not going to be mad about it. I think that's a really nice homage to the story because that's where it started. And this is a really, really fun way to go. Definitely feels like things are getting expedited. We might have this by SummerSlam. What did you think of our go home segment?
It was, I mean, I was not expecting it to go as well as it did. I was like, man, there's still a lot of time on there. Is someone going to come out and challenge him for this new belt? That's what I thought in my head. I don't necessarily think any of them are going to dethrone him. I do believe that what's going to happen is you'll have some really hard fought matches and they'll eventually have a blow off, you know, a family blow off match where we think, you know, one of them is going to win. You know, you'll get the almost three, you know, and he'll find his way to cheat or whatever Roman does to finish it. And sometimes you win by losing, right?
So
even if he doesn't beat Roman, you got that respect that kind of give him the wink and the nod, like, all right, cool, you gave me a run for my money, bitch. You know what I'm saying? And you walk away from it. But other than that, like, not to look into the future of it because we have to wait, but this was really, really well put together. The way Solo sold me, I was like, oh yeah, Solo, my man. Then all of a sudden it's like, son of a bitch, Solo. I love you for what you just did. I don't know why, but I'm with you. Spike him again. You know, like,
sure.
It was well put together. That little question, what are we going to do with, you know, what's his name? Paul Heyman at the end. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, about, and he was like, he'll just fall in line. Like, you know, like, kind of that, you're still being a cocky son of a bitch at the end of the day, bro. Like, I'm the man, you know? So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. This is obviously building to something big now. So they've kind of turned it around. The end of Sami Zayn, done. And now we're the fall, the grand finale and the big fall of the family lineage there. Yeah.
Sean said this on Twitter and it was very controversial for literally no reason. I think the loss of the title and the downfall should have been all at once. I'll always stand on that hill, and I feel like splitting the titles would also have been remarkably more productive. But if it goes the way that they're kind of lining up, I think that's good. It definitely feels like Roman is like, hey, Hollywood's coming a little faster than I anticipated. Like, they said they were in the third inning of this at Mania, and now it feels all of a sudden like we're in the eighth. Like, it feels like something got expedited here, but it's being done really well. Super hot story going on in WWE. Yeah. I'm loving everything going on with the Blackpool Combat Club and the Elite and AEW. Like, we have some really, really fun, big stories happening.
Big summer,
with
my friends.
Tables on wrestling television. I love it so much. But guys, we got one more chat coming in from Trey Cash, who's so generous in your donations. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And just like that, the Bloodline is the hottest story in wrestling. Acknowledge Roman Reigns. It's when they have the heat on it, it's the best story of wrestling, no doubt. Those intermittent weeks where Roman's not really around, it kind of gets dragging. But like, this recent uptick in what they did from Night of Champions till now is picture perfect. Yeah. I absolutely love it. I'm totally with you on that, Trey. Good.
I also believe like the whole Bloodline storyline is the best. And I'll put it this way, is the best storyline in WWE wrestling. If you were to take all of their shows, combine them, and all their storylines, that is the best storyline in WWE wrestling. And it's, you know, like Blackpool Combat Club against the Elite. That is the best story right now for me in my head as well in AEW, you know, and All Elite Wrestling. So it's just kind of hard for me in my head to kind of just say this one's better than the other.
Because there's no
blow off yet. And then once the blow off happens, I'm going to be like, oh man, yeah, the WWE one was way better, you know? And this one will come a close second. Yeah. So I'm waiting to see how these two are going to collide because they're both doing really well. You know, so I'm, but goddamn, I gotta say this, the WWE one is pretty interesting because you have so much of that family dynamic there, and everyone's still waiting. Is Daddy Rock gonna show up? You know, like that's something that everyone starts putting in the back of their mind. So
it's an interesting one for sure. I feel like if they were gonna do that, that would have happened at Mania. To me, this feels like,
you think so?
I think it's Jay's time. And I don't think, the other thing that's really refreshing about that is I think Jay can finish off that story and he doesn't have to have a super long reign. And he doesn't have to have a nasty split from Jimmy. Like, Jimmy can just be stoked that his brother did this and that Roman's gone. So like to have a more transitional reign a marathon feels really good from a pacing standpoint and sets you up for a nice timing-wise. You're looking at probably like Rumble to Mania of having a nice little run there. I really, really like that timing. And to your point, like what's so fun to me is this is such an internal implosion. And the Blackpool Combat Club and Elite story is like, both of them have been going on for like 3 years. There's so much with Kenny and Hangman and their relationship. There's so much with the Bloodline and all of those relationships. And like the Elite storyline is going to unfold at like Forbidden Door probably and Wembley and like all these other crazy events. And WWE's is going to excel in its vacuum and SummerSlam being like their second biggest effort really. And like all of these things. So it's just, it's
guys, cool. Enjoy it.
Sit back and watch it unfold and see what these two companies do with their best storylines operating at their best.
The last thing I want to say, Kate, and I'm done for the rest of the night, is the fact that you got this. Competition breeds better television, ratings, everything. Don't look at ratings. I'm sorry. That's wrong. You don't look at ratings because we live in a totally different world now. Television is not what it was in the 90s. Okay? But competition raises the bar on both ends. And what you're seeing right now with WWE is what was missing for 18 long years, okay? Since WCW went off the air, everyone, okay? I lived through it. I was a teenager. I loved it. Wrestling was the hottest freaking thing in the planet back then. And for 18 years, it dropped off. So right now, I'm feeling like that teenager again, watching multiple wrestling shows back in the late 90s, mid-90s. And I'm hoping everyone is enjoying it because that's what's happening right now.
I never had that, so I get to experience for the first time. I started watching in my 20s. Mm. So the fact that every night of the week I get to go and watch something that I really like every is really special. And the fact that I get to talk about it here most nights of the week is also really special to me. Really, really, really fun stuff. Guys, that's our show for today. Happy Pride. Happy weekend. More great wrestling on the horizon. Go watch New Japan Dominion.
Yes.
Let my pretentious rant earlier pay off. There's some good work going on there. But I will be doing something else tomorrow for this Dominion show. I'm going to have to catch it late because I will be at Excite Wrestling doing commentary. You can catch me on twitch.tv/Excite Wrestling with an X, not an E. Up at the Oakdale Mall in Johnson City, New York. You also know where to find me at Miss Kate Fabe on Twitter. You can find me on Fightful Select on Mondays. You can find me on the main channel Tuesday, Thursday, and Fridays. Wednesdays at the Mark Order, talking all things All Elite, and on Fightful Overbooked with Joel on Sundays, doing Kate and Joel Call It in the Ring. Joel and Kate at 8. I'm all over the place. But Alex, where are you?
I'm home right now in North Carolina. I want to just get.
I love that for you.
Thank you. You guys can follow me on Instagram, Alexis Cardoza, and through there you'll find absolutely everything else that I am doing in the world of the intro web. Thank you, everyone, who has continued to follow me and supported me. I really love you guys so much. Thank you. And for giving Kate and I so much love, calling us your favorite, you know, show, or that it's your Friday night go-to. Thank you.
That means a lot that you guys hang out with us this late. I'll also say, if you keep an eye on my Twitter, you might see some other content coming from me. Maybe potentially in the written form.
I'm glad you cleared that up because
I don't do OnlyFans, but I.
I'm like, when you say Twitter and only and all other content, people.
No foot pics coming for me, but I've been inspired to do some writing lately. So
I love that for you so much.
Thank you. I don't normally do announcements about announcements, but darn it, if Tony Khan can do one every week. Why can't I? So keep an eye out on Monday. I've been writing some like wrestling essay-esque content. if you like a Chuck Klosterman type thing, that's the short form that I've kind of been writing in, but about wrestling. So
I love that. I chat GPT all of my blogs, so we're good to go.
Oh, see, I can't do that. I'm doing like sincerely I'm inspired, kidding, by the way. Man.
Once we write something, be like, this a-hole just freaking went to chat GPT.
No, I'm too juiced. Like it's such a great time to be a fan of doing this. But guys, that is our show for tonight. Have a safe and happy weekend. We'll catch you soon. Be well.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.